Well, good morning again. Hello to all. My name is JC. Welcome to Declare Victory. It's no coincidence that you are here with us today. We know you're going to be blessed, and we thank you for joining us. The events for today are as follows. Bishop Patterson will be making a special trip to the East Bay area in Richmond, California, in the first week of December 2016. He will be bringing empowerment and enlightenment for six straight days to the Declare Victory family and friends. Keep an eye out in the Victory Room for more specific information on the nightly topics and registration details. You do not want to miss this life-changing week. Please show your support by liking and sharing the information when the post is made in the Victory Room. Well, folks, tonight is Friday Night Live, and I hear it's going to be off the hook, so you don't want to miss it. Please call, please join us at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you all. There are no online prayer requests. The order of the call is as follows. Scripture will be read by Doratio. Declaration, Pastor Lavelle. Praying first, E.K. Dawson. Second, Adrian. Third, Jeff. And closing today is Tim. I'll repeat that again. Scripture, Doratio. Declaration, Pastor Lavelle. Praying first, E.K. Dawson. Second, Adrian. Third, Jeff. Closing today is Tim. Please do not forget to mute your line by pressing star 6 or your standard mute feature. Thank you all. Have a blessed day. I now pass the call to Brother Doratio.
Good morning, everyone. Have you not heard? No, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and not be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I just read to you Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. May the Lord have a blessing to the reader and the hearers of the word. May I pass a call.
Good morning, everyone. Late last night to ask me to fill in for Marcus this morning. Can you hear me? Can you guys hear me good?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to do the declaration, and I'm going to chime in and out on the discussion. Dee Dee is going to do part of the discussion for me, so y'all pray for me because I'm really not feeling well. I know on Saturdays we're doing prayer, but I kind of want to shift it this morning. We'll do prayer tomorrow morning. But in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16, it talks about, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And when he had agreed with them, with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard and went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way, and again he went out about the sixth hour, ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. Said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, because no man hath hired us. And let me just skip down to verse number 12, saying, these have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden in the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take the thine ears and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, the first be last. Many be called, but few are chosen. And when I looked at that last night, I saw somebody these people grumbling about God's grace. And so that's what I want to share today, how we grumble about God's grace. And because the kingdom of heaven is so special, to hear Jesus literally say what the kingdom of heaven is like, because one thing I love about him is that it's obvious that the kingdom of God has such depth, such breadth, such strength, such magnitude, such import in the life of us as believers, that Jesus, if you listen to him, with the precision of a surgeon, he offers to us over and over again in the Gospels what I like to call these parabolic insights on the nature and the dimension of his kingdom. Because if the kingdom of God were casual, if the kingdom of God was something that did not need our emphasis, then surely I'm sure the master would not have used such a variety to help us come to understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. I mean, the simile, the metaphor, the allegory that is offered to us as it concerns the kingdom, I believe that it's an attempt by the master to bring us into a new level of thinking and into a new level of to God. I know in TNT Bible study, we're dealing with the fact that people know of God, but they just really don't know God. And so because the kingdom of God is the domain in the realm where God rules, and so when one comes to understand the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, one is actually being introduced to a different dimension of the character of God. And so when I read this and I read the kingdom of heaven, I'm not just introduced to the nature of life, but I'm introduced to the nature of he who gives me life. And so the kingdom of heaven doesn't just teach me how to live, it literally teaches me how to live this life. Because you do understand that in order to appreciate life, you must first know the man who gave you life. And I mention this because within the contemporary construct of the church life, many of us have been so interested in getting what God has, we haven't spent much time with getting who God is. And perhaps in our effort to get a blessing, we haven't spent much time with the blesser. I mean, we've been so interested in getting his hand out that there has been no intrigue on holding his hand. And could it be that we're more interested in receiving his favor than we are receiving his face? And so Jesus, in this parable, he does more than just teach us how life is lived. He actually gives us insight on he who is the life giver. And so this parable really offers to us some things that we really need to know and understand about God. Because whether you know it or not, your knowledge of God determines how you pray. Your knowledge of God determines how you give. Your knowledge of God determines how you treat other people. Your knowledge of God determines how often you come to church. Your knowledge of God determines what kind of employee you will be on your job. Your knowledge of God determines what kind of attitude you will have. Your knowledge of God determines how often you show up to Bible study. It will determine what kind of church member you will be. It will determine what kind of ministry you have, because the truth of the matter is if you don't know God, you really don't know nothing, because everything comes out of God. And to miss God and think that you can live life, to miss God and think that you have some kind of ability to go through this life and you don't have a knowledge of the life giver, You're deceiving yourself. I told this before, but I think it fits right here in what I'm trying to say. I think I told y'all before that not, some years ago I had a flat tire, and I was out in the middle of nowhere. I think I said I was in the middle of Highway 99 and 152 and in the middle of nowhere. And I remember getting out of that Ford Expedition, thinking, Jones, you can do this. You can change this tire. Then I thought, no, I can't. Then I thought, yes, you can. You can change this tire. I mean, I went looking in the back. Sure, there's a spare tire, a crowbar jack. Couldn't find that. So I called one of my deacons, and it seemed like all of them showed up at the same time. And when Deacon Walker got there, he popped open my trunk, and he hit something on the side panel, and he took something out, and, y'all, he extended something, and he did something that shocked me. He inserted the crowbar into the back of my truck and began to turn it, and almost out of nowhere, y'all, a tire came from under my truck. Y'all, I didn't have the truck all this time. I didn't know there was a tire up under it. But this is what the Holy Spirit brought to my attention. I do it in the natural. Some of y'all do it in the spiritual. And that is that I could have changed the tire, but I never thought to consult the manual. Because Ford was the creator of my car, and if I had talked to Ford about my car, Ford would have told me everything it was about my car. And here's what we're doing. We're trying to live life without consulting the creator. We're trying to have marriages without consulting the creator. We're trying to have all this and that without consulting the creator. We know how to drive, but we really don't know who made the car. We're trying to live life, but we really don't know the man who gave us life. And so what happened in this parable, it allowed us to peer into the character and the nature of he who gives us life. And so let me just talk about it, because the landowner decides he wants some day laborers to work for him, and remember the Bible said he went out at the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, the 11th hour, and he hires these men to work in his field. So let me tell you one thing that you can learn about God right here. The first thing you can learn about grumbling about grace is that God doesn't need your permission. He can hire whomever he wills. Because that's how the parable opens. The landowner, by his own discretion, chooses who he wants to work in his field. Now notice, it doesn't matter what the people think of the 11th hour, it don't matter what the people think of the 9th hour, it don't matter what the people think of the 6th, it even don't matter what they think at the 3rd hour. Because the landowner says, I can choose who I want to work in my field. And one thing we got to know about God and about his grace is that God can choose whoever he wills. And let me drop this off on you. God can anoint folks you don't like. God can use folk that you can't stand. Well, watch this. Everybody didn't get hired. Everybody didn't get hired. The landowner had some picks and some chooses, and that's why verse 16 ended by saying, many be called, but few are chosen. And the reason many be called, but few are chosen, is because God relegates and reserves for himself the ability of sovereign selection. And God says, I can choose whoever I want to choose. I ain't got to ask you who I want to choose. I ain't got to ask you who I want to anoint. God can use whoever you want to choose. So before we start writing folks off, and before we start talking about who the Lord can and can't use, and before we start talking about, oh, honey, I know who I know, her business, child, the Lord ain't going to do nothing with her, what we need to understand is that we are living here today in the kingdom of God because God had sovereign selection on your life. Amen. And I wish I could just have somebody testify who knows that God stepped over some folks just to get his hands on you. That God went around some folks just to get his hands on you, because the truth be told, you got some crazy cousins. You got some no good nieces and nephews. You got folks in your family that the Lord picked all over them and grabbed you. They still in the bar. They still living the way they were living. But look where you are today on the declared victory line, and literally in worship. You know, ain't no way you could have been there except God selected you and chose you and called you out of nowhere. So God does employ whomever he wills, and that's why we got to be careful about who we when we talk about who we want to lead us, because the truth of the matter is you really don't have enough sense to choose a leader. And I tell Greater Harvest that all the time, because if they was going to pick somebody, it sure wouldn't have been me. I mean, if I was going to pick somebody, I sure wouldn't have picked Adam. I would have picked the man who wasn't going to listen to his wife. I wouldn't have picked Noah. I wouldn't have picked Abraham. I wouldn't have picked Elijah. I wouldn't have picked Samson. I wouldn't have picked David. I wouldn't have picked Peter. But look at God. God will pick folks who you will never choose because he employs whomever he wills. And today, y'all, I wish I could testify and tell y'all that I found Jesus. But if I told y'all I found Jesus, I'd be lying. I didn't find Jesus. He found me. I didn't choose him. He chose me because he can employ whomever he wills. So let me sum this up. I'm looking at the scripture. It says something in the 3rd, 6th, 9th, 11th hour. Notice everybody didn't come in at the same time. Because what God wants to do is transcend the times of our lives. And the truth of the matter is there are some people who are judging you based on the time of your life. I wonder, before I close, do I have any honest folks on the line who will say, I thought I'd have a little more money by the time I reached this age? Or by this age, I thought I wouldn't be dealing with all this silly stuff that I deal with and all this foolishness? Because people will judge you based on the time you came in. Because by the time the text ends, you got folks mad. You got folks mad about the times that other folk came in. They said, I know you ain't about to pay them. They ain't work but 1 hour, and I don't work 8 hours, and you mean to tell me you're going to pay them the same thing you paid me? But let me tell you what God wants to do. God does not base grace on seniority. Because some people, you think you're better than other folks because you've been there long. The truth of the matter is, some of you have been saved too long. You've been saved so long that your salvation ain't got old to you. I told Greater Harvest last night in Bible study, you've been saved so long that new believers get on your nerves. You've been saved so long that when folks run around the church, jump, dance, scream, and shout, you're looking at them with the stomach virus face. You know how your face looks when you got the stomach virus, you know. And the reason you look at them like that because you've been saved too long, you know. Whether you came in the 3rd, the 6th, the 9th, or the 11th hour, baby, it don't matter when you came in the kingdom. But guess what it was? It was a day of grace. It was an hour of mercy because you would still be in your mess if he hadn't pulled up and said, get in with me. We're going to the vine. So I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I need to tell somebody that I don't care what you've been through, it's never too late. It doesn't matter whether you had 3 kids before you were 25 years old, baby, it's never too late. It don't matter if this is your 3rd marriage, it's never too late. It don't matter if this is your 7th church, it's never too late. Because God says, I can step in your life, and I can call you whatever I want to call you. And guess what? It don't matter what the people think about the folks at the 3rd hour. It took the same amount of grace to get me at the 11th hour as it did at the 3rd hour. It's never too late. I'm just telling you, it's only a matter of time that God is getting ready to turn your situation around. He's getting ready to fix it. He's getting ready to heal it. God is getting ready to restore it. Why do you say that, Jones? Because I heard the prophet Joel say that God is getting ready to restore the years that the cankerworm, the palmer worm, and the locust have eaten up. It's never too late. So here's the last thing that I learned, is that God can shock the best of us with his grace. And what happens was they were shocked by the grace of this landowner. They were shocked and they were so offended by his grace. And, you know, some of us, y'all, we're offended by grace, too, that God has been using in other folks' lives. Because you know that they ain't even doing right, and the Lord's still hooking them up. And, yeah, you've been offended how the Lord promotes them and raise them up in ministry, and you've been sitting around here waiting on your turn. But that's the problem. That's why you ain't been promoted, because you've been sitting around here. If you had been working in the field, you'd had a raise by now. So I hear him saying, you ain't right. I mean, they started at 8 o'clock. We started at 8 o'clock in the morning. They just start working at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're going to pay them for 8 hours? You ain't right. And the landowner had to check him, because I heard him say, now I know this is my field, and I know this is my money, and I know who I chose to work for me. So what business is it of yours who I bless and how I bless? And that's all I came to tell you. You've got to get your eyes off how God is blessing other folks. And that's why we're so jealous and small-minded and so petty, because you got your eyes on what God is doing for other folks and what they should have been doing, instead of having a pity party. They should have been having a grace party, because they were all hired by grace. They should have never been grumbling about God's grace. They forgot that at the beginning of the day, remember, nobody wanted them. The landowner said, "Why are y'all not working?" They said, "Ain't nobody hired us." And when the day got started, remember, nobody wanted them. But before the day ended, they had money in their pocket and dignity on their back. Yeah, they may have some sweat on their brow, but they had money in their pocket, and they would start feeling pretty good about themselves because somebody wanted them. But at the beginning of the day, nobody wanted them, and they were all broke at the same time. So instead of fussing and cussing, they should have been lifting up their hands and praising the Lord. Instead of talking about what I do not have, they should have been thanking God for what God has done in their life. And y'all, that's my encouragement to you. We have no reason to fuss, cuss, or complain. We ought to lift our hands and thank God and not grumble about God's grace. Our problem is we got American pie psychology. And the pie theology is that there's only so many slices of the pie. And we feel that when we get to the pie, it's going to be gone because somebody else took our slice. But I need to tell you, God doesn't work by pie. God works by river. And a river has a source that flows to the ocean. And what dwells in oceans? Little fish ain't in the ocean, but whales dwell in the ocean. So what that says to me is that God has a wellish blessing for those who are willing to trust him. May God bless you. May God keep you is my prayer as I pass the call to Brother D.K. Dawson.
Amen.
One second, he was muted.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dawson.
Okay. Thank you, God, that I wasn't outside, Lord God. Thank you that I had a roof over my head, Lord God. Thank you that I had a blanket, Lord God, and it wasn't newspaper over me. I wasn't a shopping cart I was sleeping in, Lord God. Thank you, God, that I had modes of transportation, Lord God. Went up, got up, went to the gym, Lord God, and got back in time, Lord God, to hear your word and hear your declaration, Lord God. Thank you that I had a mode of transportation, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord God. I had gas in my car, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. God, that I didn't get in going to my house and back to my house, Lord God, that you kept your Jehovistic hand on me and guided me and directed me, Lord God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord God. Thank you for those that get up every single solitary morning that is trying to make it their practice, trying to make it their relationship, trying to build, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for Pastor Lavelle Jones, Lord God, and his declaration and how awesome it was, Lord God, and words of encouragement. Thank you that we can even hear your inspiration, Lord God, and then articulate it so very well, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you that you thought enough of him, Lord God, and those that come with declarations, Lord God, to inspire us and to refresh us and renew us and to give us morning manna, Lord God. Thank you for supplying us with the ability. Thank you for the ability to talk with you, to have a conversation with you, to daily increase our relationship with you, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God, that we can come with other victors and other like-minded folk, Lord God, that we can really come and have a conversation and be affirmed, Lord, by you, Lord God, and also realize how awesome your power is and that prayer really works, oh God. So we thank you that prayer works, changes things, changes persons, places, and things, Lord God. It changes people. It changes our lives, Lord God. And my testimony is that the more I pray, the closer to you that I get, Lord God. So we thank you that daily we seek you. Early in the morning, we seek you. And what an awesome pleasure when you do wake us up, God, that we feel your presence, that we feel, as my daddy would say, the blood running warm in our veins, Lord God. So then we thank you. Thank you for every man that's on the call. We encourage the men on Friday, Lord God. Thank you for my brothers, Lord God. Thank you that we should be leaders in prayer, that we should be leaders in our homes, Lord God, that we should be leaders, Lord God, in everything that we say and do, Lord God, that we should walk in your kingdom, Lord God. And that we should walk like kings and king's kids, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you for the presence of the Lions of Judah, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for every brother, Lord God, whether we hear their voice or not, Lord God. We thank you for them getting up and being determined, Lord God, to pray and to pray with their families, Lord God. I pray that it would trickle down in our workplaces and in our jobs, our fraternities, Lord God, our lodges, and anybody we come into contact with, Lord God. We pray that we would be a blessing, Lord God, and that the men would continue to be a light, Lord God, everywhere that we go, Lord God. We thank you, Father. We thank you for everything that's been said, that's been spoken, Lord God. We thank you for the hostess, Lord God, everything, Lord God. And thank you that truly today, this is the day that you made for us, Lord God, and we shall be glad and rejoice in it. God, I dare not close this prayer without asking you to continually forgive us of our sins, clean up our minds, our hearts, our spirits, Lord God, create in us a clean heart and renew in us a right spirit, Lord God, and refresh us, renew us, revive us again. In Jesus' name we pray as I pass the call.
Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord God, for another day. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your love. Lord God, we thank you for all that you're showing us, all that you're teaching us. We thank you for the declarations that you're giving everyone that gives the declaration to help encourage us and help strengthen us and help remind us. And Lord God, sometimes we do forget. We do forget and we do look at where we are, where we thought we would be or where we thought we should be. And I thank God for you reminding us that even at the last minute or in the last moments, we think that things aren't going to change. Things change. So, Lord God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for bringing us in when you want us to work. Thank you for giving us the wisdom and understanding and the knowledge to be able to say the things that glorify you and that please you. Thank you, Lord God, for sending us out at the time that you send us, because that's the time that we need to be. Lord God, I thank you because you have blessed me to find things. And, you know, I look at it and I say, you know, it was intended for me to find this at this time. It was intended for me to move at this time. And I thank you for that, Lord God, because you have us move at the time that we need to move, when we need to move. So we have to just keep our eyes on you and trust in you, Lord God, and thank you and glorify you in what we say and do. Lord God, as we deal with our unsaved loved ones and our families, Lord God, I ask that you help us to remember to know that you have a time and you have a timeline, Lord God, and that as we are praying, you answer prayer. I thank you that you hear us when we pray, Lord God, and I thank you that you move. And Lord God, even though we may not see it, Lord God, help us to remember that you move even when we don't see it. And that you take care of things even when we don't know it. So, Lord God, I thank you for changing our unsaved loved ones to someone who loves you, Lord God. I thank you for helping us to see them differently, Lord God, not see them as the problem, but see them as a result of a problem. And the result of the problem is they don't know you, Lord God. That's the problem. The problem is they don't know who you are. They don't know how you really love them, how much you really care. And so, Lord God, help us to be able to say the words that help them to understand who you are and how much you love them and how much you really care, Lord God. Help us to be witnesses that will bring them to understanding, Lord God. Let your light shine in us so brightly that they can't help but see and recognize and to be changed. Lord God, also ask you that our jobs and around our neighbors and those that come in contact with us, Lord, even the ones that consider themselves enemies or we have considered enemies, Lord God, help us to be a light, Lord God. Help us to walk in the love that you have called for us to walk. Help us to walk as you have called for us to be, Lord God, to be the people that walk in love, not as the world calls love, but as you have called for us to love, Lord God. Help us to walk in the love that Christ walked in, Lord God, because that love is what touches and changes and brings people about and brings people to know who you are. And Lord God, as we walk in that love, it glorifies you. It blesses you. And I thank you, Lord God, because as we walk before you, we glorify you. And as we walk as you have called for us to walk, we walk in a love that surpasses all understanding, that they will be drawn to find out more about you, more about what this love is and why do we love, Lord God. love changes. And Lord, I thank you, and I ask you in the name of Jesus to help us to remember that we must walk in love no matter where we go, no matter what we do, no matter what we say. We have to walk in love. We have to be wise as servants and harmless as doves. That's what that word says, Lord God. So I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord God, and I ask you to watch over our children, Lord God, our children that are here and our children that are abroad in the service, Lord God. Watch over them, protect them, give them wisdom and understanding, give them knowledge, and give them grace, Lord God. Grace, saving grace, protecting grace. Lord God, I thank you for this day, Lord God. I thank you for all that you're doing. And I thank you so because I don't know what else to do, Lord God, because you're so wonderful. You're so awesome. You do so much that we don't even see that you take care of even before we get there, Lord God. So much that you do while we're sleeping, Lord God, while we're at work. So much that you do in every part of our life, Lord God. And I thank you because even though we don't see it, you're there. Even though we don't understand it, you're taking care of it. Thank you, Lord God, for being who you are. Thank you for being such a loving God that you are. Thank you for bringing us to a place where we get to know you, Lord God. We are the ones that are walking around going, I know what you do, and I want what you give. We walk around saying, I want to be like you. I want to know you personally. I want to know more about you. I want you more in my life. I want you filling my life, Lord God. Thank you for the rivers of living water that flow from our mouths, Lord God, our bellies. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for giving us understanding, Lord God, of what you've given us. Thank you, Lord God, for every little thing that you do. From waking us up, Lord God, to putting us to sleep, from giving us strength to get up, Lord God, the ability to see, to hear. Thank you, Lord God, for everything. Thank you for the colors that you placed here that we can see, Lord God, and the places that we can go to see the beauty that you placed here. Lord God, help us to stop seeing the negative, Lord God, and start seeing the beauty. Because around us every day there's beauty. Around us every day. Each time we go out, Lord God, there's beauty. So help us to start seeing the beauty, Lord God. Help us to start seeing the things that you want us to see. Help us to hate the sin but not the person. Help us, Lord God, to pray for people when they need, when we see them, Lord God. Because you give us an unction. You give us a thought. And, Lord God, help us to remember to pray. No matter what it happens, before we even speak to someone, if they speak to us wrong, help us to remember to ask you what to say and how to say it. So, Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for all that you're doing. I thank you for all that you've done. And I thank you for what you're about to do because I know that you love to surprise and you're a loving and awesome God. So I thank you for being the Father that you are. And I give you the praise, the glory, and the honor as I pass the call.
So, Father God, we thank you for the words that have been shared this morning. God, I thank you for Pastor LaVelle being so willing to fill in. God, I thank you for JC this morning and her sound. God, I thank you for Dawson and all that you've given him to share, Lord God. I thank you for Brother Adrian, Lord God. I thank you even for the space of silence, just for me simply to say, God, we thank you not for what you do, God, but because of who you are. God, if you did nothing else, we love you. God, we appreciate you. We exalt you. We extol you. We call you excellent in all that you are, excellent in all that you do, excellent in just being our sovereign God. We thank you this morning because you are the great I am. You are the bright and morning star. You are the lily of the valley, God. You are El Shaddai, Jehovah Sikkenu, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisei. God, you are great all by yourself. God, if we didn't call you great, you'd still be great. If we'd never acknowledged your awesome might and your great splendor, God, you'd still be everything that we need, unbeknownst to us. God, we thank you for protecting us from danger seen and unseen. God, we thank you that we can bow our heads or stand upright, God, lay straight out, and every single posture we assume, God, you're still sovereign. You still hear us. God, I pray for every marriage this morning. God, I pray that you would continue to bind folks up in love, that they would know you by the power of your might. God, that they would chase the tens of thousands that they're assigned to. I thank you for every single person in waiting. God, that you're reinventing them, you're recreating them, you're regenerating and renewing them, God. I ask that you keep our hearts and minds fixed, focused, and stayed on you in the name of Jesus. God, we pray for our children this morning. God, you know everything they were designed to do. God, not only let it manifest, but manifest to your glory. God, that our children will raise up and call you great and call you blessed. God, that they will crush the very head of the enemy. God, we pray for every enemy right now in the name of Jesus. God, that you'd continue to cover them and keep them, build them up and draw them, God, that they would know you and that they would know us by our love. Lord God, help our attitudes to be full of gratitude. Lord God, help our mindset to be forward thinking, God, with a press down on the inside. God, lead us to the path of righteousness, God, to every assigned person in our lives, God, that we would speak life and that our very words would be a wellspring of life, God, and hope and a mindset to serve you with everything that we are. God, then we pray for all those that you've called to your people, Lord God, every pastor, teacher, mentor, God, employer, God, we ask, oh God, that you would cover them with your grace, God, that you'd give them wisdom in all that they are and all that they were called to do in the name of Jesus. God, continue to build up ministry, God, in the nations. God, we ask that you would help us to have an evangelical mindset, Lord God, knowing that evangelism and discipleship are key to growing and learning in you. God, I pray for our nation, God. I pray for our presidential candidates, Lord God, that you would just intervene, Lord God, like only you can. We know that we are not in the hands of man, that we are in the world, but not of the world. God, and we just ask that you give us wisdom in the process. God, you know all about us. God, I pray for Kenya and Sudan, Lord God. I pray right now for the state of Florida. Lord God, you be in the midst of the storm. Lord God, protect your people in the name of Jesus. God, continue to cover and keep them by your power. God, we know that you can. God, let no hurt, harm, or danger come near your sheep in the name of Jesus. God, we pray for all unrest and every international turmoil situation, Lord God. You know all about it. God, you are able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond anything we could ever think, hope for, or imagine. And now, God, I pray for every victor on the line. God, that you bless them and bless them indeed, that you'd enlarge their territory. God, give us capacity. Your word declares that if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their ways, then will we hear from heaven. God, God, give us a mind to desire to hear from heaven. God, give us a hunger and thirst after righteousness that's so grand that it's contagious. God, allow us to operate in excellence, God, and not perfection. Allow us to operate in such a spirit, oh God, that people want to know what the difference is. God, that they would understand and see by our walk that we're not concerned with your hand. Lord God, we're chasing after your heart. Lord God, and so right now we surrender everything that we are to you. God, we give you ourselves. We give ourselves away, God, empty and broken. God, weak in our own power that you can be strong through us. We thank you that the word declares, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. God, we thank you this morning that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. God, give us a clean heart and a right spirit within us. God, that we may know you and the power of your resurrection. We love you, God. We thank you this morning for the blood that covers a multitude. God, we thank you for love this morning and grace and mercy. God, and we just will be so careful to give your name the glory, to give your name the honor, and to give your name the praise as I pass the call to Tim.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, I am so excited today, Lord God. I'm not only just excited because this is the day that you have made and you have instructed us that we should rejoice and be glad in. And I'm so excited, Lord God, that two or more have gathered together in your name and you are in the midst, God. I'm so excited because I can't praise you enough. I'm thankful for what has already been said, Lord God, because I could not have said it better, Lord God, and I need some help to praise you on this morning, Lord God. If we had 10,000 tongues, Lord, we couldn't thank you enough. I've already done the math, Lord God. If we had twice that much, we couldn't thank you enough. But we had four times 10,000, we couldn't thank you enough, Lord God. So I'm so excited, Lord God, that we get this opportunity to praise you, to tell you how awesome you are, God, to thank you for being God, Lord God. We just thank you in a magnificent way on today, Lord God. We have some prayer requests that have went out, Lord God. Even the word urgent was put on it, Lord God. So we know that not only do you answer prayer that we just casually give you, Lord God, we know that you answer prayer that's urgent to us, Lord God. Pray right now, God, that you would demonstrate your power, your mercy, your might, God, and your love to answer the prayer that has been given out this morning, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, all the ones that are under the sound of my voice, Lord God. We honor you. We glorify your name. We lift you up and bless you, God. Thank you. Lord God, I have a simple prayer this morning, Lord God, a simple prayer. My prayer is that you would continue, Lord, to use us, Lord God, for your glory, that you will continue to instill in us the knowledge of Christ, Lord God, that we might be well-equipped and able to tell this unstoppable story, Lord God. I pray, God, that we will surrender ourselves and realize that surrendering, Lord God, there's power and there's might when we surrender to you, Lord God, because you build us up, Lord God. You make us ready, Lord God, for this battle, God. You send us out into the battlefield, Lord God, well-equipped with your word, Lord God. And I thank you for being in your army, Lord God. I thank you for being a soldier, Lord God, in your army, Lord. I pray that you will continue to bless us like you've been doing, Lord God. Thank you for the declaration this morning, Lord God, giving us insight into your personality, giving us insight into your nature, Lord God, allowing us to see that you have it still under control, and you are powerful, and you are mighty, and you can do exactly what you want to do, Lord God. So I thank you for this morning, Lord God. A simple prayer, God, just help us. Help us, Lord God, to do and to be how you would have us to be. Allow us to become shaped and molded by your loving hands, Lord God, that you will continue to bless our families, Lord God, our children, our spouses, those who have them, our relationships with the pastor, our relationship with each other and one another, Lord God. Your word tells us that you more or less paraphrase and you love it when men and women can dwell together in unity. So we thank you, Lord God, for the camaraderie that's here on this Declaring Victory line, God, that we come here every morning, Lord God, seeking your face and also learning from what we hear today, Lord God. We thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord God. It's a simple prayer today, God. Just use us, Lord God, how you will. Thank you. Thank you as we take our phones off mute, Lord God, to honor you and to glorify your name today, Lord God, because this is what we want to do. This is why we get up early in the morning, Lord God, that we might worship you at the beginning of the day, Lord God, that we might carry you with us throughout the rest of the day, Lord God. So we thank you for this early morning rising, Lord God, this time to praise you, this time to honor you, Lord God, this time to let you know how much we care, how much we love you, Lord God, that you first loved us, Lord God. No, we didn't choose you. You chose us, Lord God. We thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. Help us to understand even better and more so, Lord God, that you love us more than we can even ever love ourselves, Lord God. So we thank you. Honor you and praise you. Glorify you.
Make us humble. Make us more than you, Father God. Break us, Father God. Break our bad habits.
Thank you, Lord, for promoting us from happiness.
Change us, Father God, into your liking.
Thank you, God.
Into what you want us to be.
For your mercy.
So that we can go out and influence others.
We don't know where we will be, Lord God.
Just pour that into us today, Father God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Pour into us today, renew our minds and change our personalities to your liking, Father God.
Bless you
and mold us, Father God. We love you so much and we just invite you. We invite you and the Holy Spirit, Father God. We invite you. Have your way in your children today.
Let
our voices, Father God, be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear, Father God.
Thank you for warming what you've taught us back to our remembrance, Lord God. Thank you for reminding us that we have something we can stand on, Lord God.
Thank you for everything that happens in our life, the good and the bad, Father God. Because you're so faithful and you come through no matter what. You always show up no matter what, Father God. Even when we don't feel it, Father God, you're still there for us. And I just thank you for that, Father God. I thank you for being reliable, Father God. I thank you for being loving, Father God. I thank you for choosing each and every one of us, Father God. Because you chose each and every one of us. You chose us to be your chosen generation, God. Let us walk with kingdom mentality, Father God. Let us walk with the mind of Christ, Father God. Let us walk knowing that there's victory no matter what, Father God. Let us walk with that blessed assurance, Father God, that you're there for us as you're working it out for our good, and that you have our lives in the palm of your hand no matter what. We win no matter what, Father God. Let us walk in victory today, not tomorrow, not next month, not next week, not once we get over our issues. God, let us walk in your victory today, Father God. Let us have confidence that we're protected, that we're blessed, that we're taken care of, that you see everything, God. You sit high and you see low. You're the Lion of Judah, and I love you, Father God, for that. I love you for being our protector. Thank you, Father God, today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father God.
Somebody about God
bless all those that we come into contact with today, Father God. Guide us where we're supposed to be every minute of the day. Guide us where we're supposed to who we're supposed to talk to, who we're supposed to influence. And God, take us to those who will influence us. Please, Father God, hear our prayer. And we thank you, Father God. Thank you ahead of time. Thank you ahead of time for your provision, for your protection, for our lives, Father God. We love you so much. And you're welcome in this place. This is your call. These are your people. Everything that goes on belongs to you. We declare and decree it today, right now, Father God, that all of this and all of us, we all belong to you. And everything that happens in our life, every single thing belongs to you. It's ordained by you. You give and you take away, Father God. You open doors that no man can shut, Father God, and you shut doors that no man can open. And I thank you for that, Father God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Promising that we would hear from heaven, Lord God. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises, Lord God. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, God. Because where would we be without you? Thank you for your encouragement, Lord God. Thank you for every person on this call.
Where would we be without you, Father God? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And amen. Amen. Good morning, family.
Amen.
I pass the call back to JC. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. My apologies for jumping in there. Well, hello and welcome again to Declare Victory. My name is JC, and I'm your hostess for today. I hope you have been blessed by the call. Were there any first-time visitors that did not get to say hello and would like to do so? Okay. Is there anyone that joined the call a little late and did not get to say hello and would like to do so now?
Good morning, family.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Jeff.
I'm sorry, your name kind of cut off a little bit. What was your name?
I said, good morning.
Well, good morning. God bless you.
Good morning, Victory family. Y'all, please forgive me. I overslept, Brother Jeff.
Good morning, Brother Jeff. Of course we forgive you. It happens.
JC, this is Diane. I want to ask you to declare victory to pray for my sister, Dorothy Carter. I don't know what happened. I'm still in L.A. I don't know if someone told her about my mother or what, but she's in ICU. And
okay, Sister Diane, we have. What was her name again? I didn't get her name.
It's Dorothy Carter. That's Diane.
Okay. So, family, let's lift up Diane's sister, Dorothy Carter.
Thank you.
We We got you in prayer. Sister Diane, we love you.
Good morning, this is Tina.
Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, this is Amelia.
Well, good morning, Amelia.
Good morning, Jamila.
Good morning, Jamila. Anyone else?
Good morning, okay. This is Adrian.
Oh, hey, Brother Adrian.
Hello, family.
We hope that you can join us for the next segment of the call, which is the Love, Life, and Victory portion. Don't forget, tonight's Friday Night Live. It's going to be a bomb. You'll be blessed. And family, may I ask, if you're not going to speak, can you please put your phones back on mute? I thank you. You have a blessed day. I now pass the call back to Pastor Lavelle.
Hey, and JC, before you pass the call back to Pastor Lavelle, we will have a new number, and unfortunately, we usually transition a lot smoother than this, but there are so many people that are unable to get on the call. We're going to transition tomorrow. I'll have a flyer created sometime, probably within the next hour or so. Check the Victory Room as well as the Public Declare Victory page. And even though I'm on a Facebook break, you can also look on my personal page to find it. And if you guys would be kind enough to share, share, share. It's a 1-800 number, so we should not have the challenges that we've had in the past.
Amen. Thank you, Dion. And also, family, I was on a landline today, and it was kind of hard to hear, so my apologies if I missed anyone. So you guys have a blessed day. I now pass the call to Pastor Lavelle and Dee Dee. Thank you. Brother, are you there?
Yeah, go ahead, Dee Dee. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. I hope you feel better as well. What an amazing message. Do you have anything that you want to add or ask?
No, I just want to hear if they have any questions.
Yeah.
If they have any questions, I'll answer. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, you guys all heard the amazing share this morning, and thank you for tuning in. So did anyone get – I know you got blessed, and I know you got a word out of it, but does anyone want to talk about what they learned this morning from Pastor Lavelle's awesome share?
I just want to say this, and then I'm going to go back to work on getting this number up. I mean, as always, I appreciate you, Pastor Lavelle, for your share this morning. I think one of the pinnacle things that we learn in the process of becoming and really identifying who God is in our lives, really, really learning how to seek his face and not the amenities of who he is. Just that is so key in growth and development. Really understanding who God is, and no matter what he does or doesn't do or what he allows or doesn't allow, that he's still sovereign. And if he doesn't change a situation, would he still be God because of who he is and not because of what he's done? That's it.
Awesome,
Dion. The verse 16 part, the last will be first and the first last. And no matter how long and how hard, and like you said, no matter what title you think you have or how you're judging others, and God, he chooses who he wants to. So that just spoke life into me because, you know, I'm better now. But just thinking I wasn't good enough, you know. Thanks to Declare Victory and my sister Dion for just seeing something in me that I didn't see in myself that made me know that it's okay, that God chose me. I didn't choose him. He chose me to reach the lost, those that you can't reach, Pastor Lavelle. Or, you know, we're all uniquely designed. So I'm just grateful because we don't have a say in the matter. No, God's grace is His grace, and we can't grumble about it. And it's so much. I mean, I got so much out of this word, and I'm just grateful for you and your share as always. I want you to rest. Maybe that's why you don't feel good, because you may be doing a little too much, and you are a newlywed. Amen. Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, I'll say something. It really points out the very intricate underlying power that God has to choose, because sometimes somebody get a promotion on the job, we might think the supervisor gave them the promotion or the system gave the promotion, but ultimately it was God. And because we may see someone get a promotion or get grace that we don't like and we grumble about it, we got to realize we're grumbling against what God has actually allowed to happen, not what the supervisor, you know, promotion the supervisor gave that person. Ultimately, God is the one that makes all opportunities for us possible. And so that grumbling part, how Pastor Lavelle, you know, told us about the people grumbled against God because the brother wanted to pay the people high at the end of the day the same as he paid the ones earlier. They agreed on that price, and that's one scripture I've used just in my life when, you know, charging people for stuff, meaning that I'll ask a person, well, what's your budget? And I'll write it down on a piece of paper what I want. They'll write down what they want to give me, and if they was going to give me more, I'll go with what I wrote because that was my honest, you know, answer, my honest, you know, price, not to show greed and to be okay with what I agreed to for myself. You know, I don't know if that was clear, but it really resonated with me about the grumbling part, how we just grumble against God, grumble about things in life, and not realizing that God woke you up that morning just like He woke that other person up. What you mad about? Why you mad? Because they woke. So anyway, I'm just, it really just really excited me this morning. Made me lost for words. So, amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Now
you woke up too. What you mad for?
Yeah, I know.
Waking up on the wrong side of the bed. You better be grateful you woke up, period. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Anybody?
Good morning.
Good morning, Adrian.
I thank him for the declaration because it helped remind me. There was a place, or there's a time that I looked at my life and where I expected to be and where I wanted to be is not where I am. And so sometimes I struggle with that, you know, and I go back home in my life, like, what could I have done different? What could I have changed? What could I do to make this, to get to where I want to get to? But this declaration reminded me that it's in God's timing. And though it seems like it's not working now, it's going to work out. And the scripture he has that the ending of the thing is better than the beginning. So the beginning may have trouble. It may be challenging. It may have a lot of things going on. But the ending will be so much better. So I thank you for that because that was an encouragement for me.
Amen. Anybody else?
Understanding that the only thing we have to shout about is that God has done it all. And we ought to thank God for His grace and that how He bestows grace upon all of us and the measure of grace that He gives us. You know, we don't have nothing to do with what God does with someone else. The truth of the matter is we need to be only concerned about what He's doing with us because that's where our focus needs to totally be, not on other people. And we got to get our eyes off what God is doing in other people's lives and worry about what God is doing in our life because that's why we're so jealous, so small-minded, so envious and all of that because we always worry about how God is blessing somebody else. But we need to think about the fact because God blessed Dee Dee, He can bless me too. You know, just my time ain't came yet.
Brother, you know, something else you said that was good, and Adrian reminded me of it, as far as being maybe embarrassed, not or in a place in our lives where we thought we'd be further along. I know for me, almost being 49, and although I've worked 30 years and retired from a company, I really did think I maybe have more stuff. Of course, I've owned a house and I lost a house. I've owned and lost, and for a long time, I guess I did allow other people, not really because they had it, but because they bragged. And I no longer really associate myself with people who, not intentionally anyway, that does that. You know, that'll make you feel like, oh, because you're renting or you've moved so much or you, whatever your situation is, it is what it is. Because thank you, Adrian, for reminding me, God, that his time is perfect. Whether you're in a box, a cart, you know, if you live in your, whatever, you still woke up, I'm still grateful, and the things that was taken unlawfully from me, they'll be restored. He's already restored so much more than a house and a car and a dog, because even when I lost the first house, the dog went with it, but that's another story. But just to be grateful, you know, because of his grace and his mercy, I can say today that I'm good and God's kept me. He's kept my mind more than anything else, because none of that stuff matters if I don't have a sound mind. So, awesome share. Anybody else? Yeah, real quiet this morning. That was a major, amazing declaration, too, Pastor.
The problem with most of us is we've been saved too long. We've been saved so long that our relationship with God has become casual. I told my wife that we can't just. We have to do date night. It's imperative that we do date night, because we can't just get married and just let things go back to status quo or whatnot. And it's the same way with God. You can't just let your relationship with God, because remember, he doesn't change. It's us. It's us that changes. And that's why when other people come in church and stuff and are happy and shouting and stuff, we look at them like it don't take all that. Well, it may not take all that for you, but you don't know what it even took for her to get there this morning. You don't know what kind of trials and tribulations she had to go through or he had to go through. You don't know if her husband cussed her out this morning or anything like that, you know. So instead of looking at them, we ought to be shouting right along with them.
That part. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, good morning, ZK. I think that right there was that stuck with me more than anything that everything that you said was great, but that was not even a fresh revelation. It just was a good reminder to me, you know what I mean, that because God really does not change, we change, and because we're changing and evolving, he becomes different and new to us. But just like you said, sometimes we get saved so long. It's just like not changing the water in the fish bowl. You know, it gets to be stagnant. It gets to be bad, you know. So thank you for that. That was a good, good refreshing right there.
The truth of the matter is, thank you, DK, we need to go back and renew our relationship with God. We need to renew our fellowship with God, because you can be like the prodigal son. You can be in the house and still be out of fellowship with God. Uh-oh. I just said something right there. You can be in the house and still be out of fellowship. And so that's why we're reminded to remember our first love. Y'all forgive me, I'm at work, so I'm on the garden truck. So that's why we're reminded to remember our first love. Go back and do the first ones over again. And when you've reached that level of contentment, even in your relationship, Brian McKnight said it best. Whenever I think my work is done, I go back to one. I start all over again. And that's what keeps our relationship with God right, because we don't take it for granted.
Anybody else? We got a lot of good stuff this morning. I know I'm blessed. Pastor,
they're
quiet.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, Adrian.
There are
there are some that are angry at God because of things that have happened in their lives that they felt shouldn't have happened, or people were lost, family members were lost, and they're angry, and they don't hold on to it, or they hold on to that anger, and not because they don't understand. And a lot of times, they're holding on to something that shouldn't be held on to. And so they get envious and jealous of what other people have, or what's going on with other people. And we have to remember that God says, I do with my own things that which I will. And that it's not what we understand. It's about what he's doing. And so we have to take our eyes off of the things that we see and look to him, as opposed to looking at what others have, or what others have done or haven't done. And I agree with Pastor Lavelle that it begins here. It begins in my household, in myself, you know, in ourselves. And so we have to ask God to forgive us for being angry or holding on to something that we shouldn't hold on to, because, again, he blesses how he wants to bless. And sometimes he does it to get your attention, to let you know that I'm still in the blessing business. So we must forgive, and we must get to a point where we just keep our eyes on him and not on situations and circumstances around us that we're in. I hope that made sense.
You know what, Brother Adrian, I appreciate you saying that. And there's some who know my story on this call, and I don't understand how some people can be quiet, because after I went through all the hell at my church, God took my 17-year-old son, took my brother 2 months later, took my sister and my daddy the same weekend, and took my church, and then turned around and allowed my wife to walk out on me. I ain't got nothing but grace. I don't have nothing but joy in my heart, because God did what he had to do. I'm not angry with God. I'm not angry with anyone. And that's how my faith measures up. And my faith is that much stronger, because he didn't do it to make me bitter. He did it to make me better. And I said this on TNT Bible study the other night, that I don't understand how you can be in the arms of your lover. We're wrong. And your lover make you say something, and make you say things, all kinds of things, and make you scream, and all of that, and that lover didn't die for you, but yet when it comes to God, who wakes you up every morning, you ain't got nothing to say. The 49ers game was on last night. Those of you who are 49ers fans, you were screaming one way or another. You were screaming because they scored, or you were screaming because the quarterback messed up or something, but you were screaming. But how can you scream on a game that ain't paying you nothing, but yet you got a God who gave his only begotten son for I know good selves, and his son gave his only life for us, and yet when it comes to him, we want to be quiet, we want to act like there ain't nothing.
That's good.
Now, I like that, but Pastor Lavelle, I went to sleep on a 49er game. I did not scream on it.
Thank you, Sinaje. I'm with you. And you didn't have to use that as an example.
I understand why you did.
Anybody else got something? Anybody else other than Pastor Lavelle? That was a really good analogy, though, Pastor. You're so right. It's like we are responsible for our praise, but I don't get it. And everybody's different. And like I think on your share when you were talking about, you know, some people say, well, I'm shy and I'm quiet and I'm not going, you know, again, whatever works for you to praise God. But I'm like you, Pastor Lavelle, all the hell I've been through, the many times the enemy tried to take my life, I'm going to open my mouth every chance I get. I don't care who have, you know, it's good because I'm here. Just because he woke us up this morning, that's a praise. But maybe, you know, it's a lot, and sometimes when we get the little cricket ministries, because people are absorbing what they heard, too. So we can just keep it on rolling. You can go on and do your sanitation. What are you, a sanitation specialist? Yeah,
sanitation engineer specialist.
Oh, that's what it was, sanitation engineer specialist, right. And I don't have no job, so I'm going to just clean up my house. Amen.
You can sing for
us. If there be no one else. Amen, Pastor. Yes,
you can sing for us,
Dee Dee. I'm
sorry? Yeah, you can sing for us.
No, no, not this morning. I'm not led. I'm not led to sing for this morning. We lifted Marcus up wherever he is, and of course Diane and the Storm Matthew, whatever Hurricane Matthew, that's what it's called. And all the victors. Pastor, you have anything else?
Well, I just want to encourage everyone to not just the Bible says we have a form of godliness, but not according to knowledge. Or we being ignorant of our own righteousness, going about to establish God's righteousness, going about to establish our own righteousness, have not submitted himself to the righteousness of God. Don't just know of God, but know God. Know God. And that's what's going to keep you in your time of storms. And, you know, the reason we go to pieces when things happen is because we really don't know what the Word says. And if you notice, there was a difference when Jesus and the disciples. Now, I'm not telling you not to grieve. I'm not telling you not to hurt. But if you notice, Jesus, when storms was going on, Jesus was sleeping. But when things were at peace, he was praying. But when the disciples were in a storm, they was up. But when things were at peace, they were praying when storms were coming. And when things were at peace, they were sleeping. Jesus was just the total opposite, because he knew there was no need to freak out or anything, because he understood that God still had it under control. And y'all, we reverse it. When storms come, we need to be able to say all things work together for good and see that God is behind it all. He's not putting affliction on you to make you bitter. Affliction is put on you to make you better. So there's some things that happen to us that we need to see God's hand behind it. Even though it may not look like God's hand is behind it. But believe me, ain't nothing happening outside the permission and the will of the Almighty God. And we need to stop saying that he has a permissive will. God does not have a permissive will. God has a perfect will. He has a perfect will. Man just makes choices to do what man wants to do. So we need to totally remember that. Remember that, but please remember that. And y'all, stop getting excited about church and start getting excited about God. So many of us are excited about church because the praise and worship is good or whatnot. I mean, that's fine, but we need to get excited about God. Love is fun. And we're studying that in Bible study on Tuesday night and Thursday night about the fact how God was pleased with Jesus. We were so pleased with Jesus and how he needs to be pleased with you and I too. So, and then stop trying to get to heaven, y'all. Everybody wants to get to heaven. Stop trying to get to heaven. I want to go to heaven, but I want Jesus. Jesus is who I want. Heaven is just a fringe benefit of having Jesus. So I want a relationship with Jesus, and I'm like Tim. Every time I get down on my knees, I get closer and closer to the Lord. And that's what we need to understand. That's what he wants. He wants that intimate, interpersonal relationship with you. He wants the relationship that you have with your husband or you have with your wife. He wants that deep, intimate, full sexual relationship with you. So there's fruit that comes from that relationship. That's the relationship he wants with you.
Pastor LaVose, Juliet, I just so love what you're talking about tonight. I mean, this morning. You know, what I'm getting is that I need to day by day refresh or court the Lord, you know, on a day-to-day basis, so that that love will continue to be refreshed and renewed, and I won't be looking at something in somebody else's backyard, you know, trying to and getting envious because I've not spent the time with the Lord myself. And I was thinking about also how you were saying the form of godliness. And I think about that scripture that says, you know, where he says, they come up to him and they say, Lord, Lord, didn't I, you know, do this in your name and that in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. So it's like we can be going about the business of the Lord, be working in his house and having that form of godliness, but at the same time, like you said, be in the house of the Lord and not even have a relationship with him ourselves. And the scripture I always keep in mind is where Paul said, let's have priests to all men become a castaway. That's using my gift, you know, but not believing it for myself, not believing that how he loves that person or this person, you know, that same love he wants to give to me. I just need to receive it. So I just thank you for the message today and the reminder of what I need to do with my relationship with the Lord.
Thank you, Julia. Listen, y'all, the salvific decision, I believe, is a once-in-a-lifetime decision, but the sanctification decision is a daily decision. And let me tell y'all what happened to me. Yesterday, I got up in the morning and I prayed, and I went through the day crucifying and mortifying the flesh. And when I went to bed last night, y'all, the flesh was still crucified. But when I woke up this morning, that old flesh had resurrected on me. And it was sitting on the side of the bed waiting on me to get up. And I really didn't want to get out of bed this morning. And my wife says to me, baby, you've got 10,000 sick days. Why don't you just take a sick day? Why don't you just stay in the bed? You know, but I was determined. I knew I had to be up to do the declaration anyway. So I said, I might as well go to work, even though I'm not feeling good. So in essence, when I got up this morning, I had to renew my choice for Christ all over again. And that's what we have to do, y'all. We have to renew our relationship with Jesus on a daily basis. Because you would feel real bad if Jesus treats you the way you treated him. I wish I just had one witness. Because some days you don't want to pray. Sometimes you get a little funk and all that. What if Jesus decided he was going to get in the funk? What if God got with the triune spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit got together and say, let's treat them the way they treated us yesterday. I can't get no help, but I know I'm right. And so we've got to renew our choice on a daily basis. Joshua told the people to choose you this day because God is always pushing the people to make a choice. We have to make a choice.
Somewhere it says, I choose you again and again. Heard that song before? Choose you again. I choose you again.
Okay. I've never heard it. We don't tell Dee Dee to sing it.
It reminds me of that. It's like you said, we should be every day, you know, we wake up, that's a new day. And like you were saying to what Joshua said, choose you this day. We don't know what tomorrow. We got through yesterday. Yesterday's gone. So if we can't see tomorrow, we only have today.
Right. And then let me tell you this. Joshua said, as for me and my house. That's under the Old Testament. Under the Old Testament, you can't say me and my house. The only thing you can say, but as for me. And so the sanctification decision is a daily decision. In essence, regardless how long ago you chose the Lord, the question is, did you choose him this morning? That's the question of the house.
Man.
Did you choose him this morning?
Just one other thing. One of the things I've learned that we have to change how we see God. The Westerners tend to see God as spirit and as omnipotent, you know, as not tangible, whereas Easterners see God as rock, food, fire, wind. They see him as tangible things that they can experience and feel. We have to realize that he is those things. He can be the rock. He can be the food that we need. He can bless us with the things that we need. So we have to start seeing him as someone real as opposed to something that just by happenstance is a spirit. You know, God is more than a spirit. He is everything that we need. And so we have to change our view and our way of seeing him And we have to see him as the things that we need. We have to see him as who he is, the loving God that he is, the personable God that he is, the reachable God that he is, the one that listens to our prayers, the one that's close to us all the time, the one that protects us, watches over us, and keeps us. We have to see him as these things, our protector, our love, our everything.
Yes. Those are good. Those are, and I'm not reverting what you said. I just want to go back to what Dion said. Dion said at the beginning that we need to start praising him not just so much for what he's got or what he's done, but simply for who he is. I wish I had me a witness here.
I'm a witness, but I'm talking too much. I'm just going to be humming in the back. I'm the silent witness. Amen.
When do we start just seeking his face, not for what he can do and not for what he has, but just simply for who he is? Come on, y'all. Y'all get up every morning on this prayer call. You know, somebody needs to bless him just for who he is. If he don't heal your mama, if he don't heal your daddy, if he don't heal your cousin, if he don't bring your child back home, he's still who he is.
Isn't that what the three Hebrew boys did? They were thrown in the fiery furnace and said they know God is able, but even if he doesn't, they're going to serve him anyway. That's where we're supposed to be.
God bless you, Pastor. Lavelle, I enjoyed your this is Tan, enjoyed your declaration. I just want to say that I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises will be in my mouth as I lay here in my bed listening to the declaration and just thanking God for who he is and what he is to me. Sometimes throughout the day, I'll just, you know, offer up a, hey, Dad, I love you. You know, I just want you, I was thinking about you. I love you so much. Thank you for what you did, or thank you. But, you know, I just love God, and I loved what you just said. You know, sometimes we should just be able to praise God for who he is, not going to him for something that we need, you know, because it just almost makes it seem like, not that we mean it, it just almost seems like we're pimping him, you know, or trying to. We can't because we don't want to allow it. It's the only time. It's a one-sided love affair almost. And not that you are doing, not that anybody on the call is doing that, but I get what you're saying. You know, that's what a true worshiper does. It doesn't, we don't pray just because something is going wrong. We will give God thanks just because. You know, I remember being a kid, and listening to my mother, and oh, it was at that age where everything she did seemed to get on my nerves. But, like, all of a sudden, she would just break out, God, I thank you. Hallelujah, Lord, I thank you. Just break out of nowhere. I don't know if something was on her mind or whatever, but she might be in the kitchen preparing dinner or just walking through on her way maybe to get something in the house or whatever, and she would just break out in a praise, not in a you know, wild crazy one, but just a God, I thank you, or hallelujah, God bless your holy name, you know, or all of a sudden maybe her hands would go up. And as I've gotten older and been on my own journey, I find myself doing that because I am in love with God. I love him. I love him. And if he, I think I could say today, if he never did another thing, I still would love him, because God has brought me through some amazing things, you all. And if you just reflect, this is a time where you can reflect over your past. This that would be an appropriate time to do that. Reflect over your past and look at where he's brought you from or what he's done, and give him the praise that he deserves, because he does deserve it. So thank you for reminding us.
My wife said to me yesterday, thank you, Tan, that she had a Holy Ghost fit. She said, baby, I almost wrecked my car today. I said, baby, how did you almost wreck your car? She said, I won't complain came on, and I thought about all the stuff that I had to deal with, but I ain't going to complain, and the spirit just came over me, and I just almost wrecked my car. I said, well, baby, it's all right to praise God, but don't wreck your car in the process. But look how God guided her even in the midst of her praise. And that's what I love about my job, and that's why I'm not in the office as much, because I have a job where I can work, worship, and witness at the same time. And that's the sum total of our Christian experience, work, worship, and witness. And we have to get to the point that you have to praise God just for who he is. And my grandmother, in the same way as your mother, Tan, would be washing clothes on the rug board, and I'd be there, and I hear her say, "Lord, have mercy." And she said a little louder, "Lord, have mercy," or "Lord, thank you." And I see clothes go flying all up in the air and stuff, because they understood. Y'all, this is a new day of worship for God, but the saints of old, they really worship God, because my grandmother was diehard Church of God in Christ, and you couldn't tell her nothing else. It was, I think she was Jesus Jr., and they loved God. The saints of old loved God, but the amenities that we have today, you know, we're so lax on everything, because when Tan's dad and them, Dr. Walker and them had hardwood floors and stuff, they would be all on the floor praying and all that. Now that we got carpet 3 inches thick at our churches and stuff, you think we get on our knees to pray when we go to the altar? No, we don't get on our knees to pray. We stand at the altar when we pray.
Wait, Lavelle, what altar? What altar? What altar? People ain't going to no altar. They might. Well, some people not going to sit right in their seat. They might stand. You know, you're absolutely right. It's so different now. Just at the way that people, the relationship, it is different. We've learned a lot. We understand what the Greek meaning of. You know, toda and yada, and you know, all of those. We've learned a lot of Greek, a lot of information. You know, whereas you know, the saints of all, my grandmother as well, my grandmother, my mother. You know, they didn't really focus on the Greek meaning of words and the knowledge. You know, they knew about the Lord or whatever. But it wasn't so much about the real deep meanings. You know, they just they would give a surface and a depth phrase. It was just amazing to watch as a kid. Like, you know, I would be like, "Oh my God, there she go again." You know, my kids probably do the same thing now. But they meant it. They meant it. They really. Not that we don't. It just seems like the depth was different. Do you agree?
Oh, without a doubt. I'll show you something else, Tan. I've got a library out of this world. I've got a library that every time since I was 16, when someone gave me some money for preaching, I went and bought a book. And everybody in Relish, they love my library. They always ask for my library. Ask me the last time, because I got Libronics and stuff on the computer and on my phone and my iPad. Ask me the last time I opened a book. And so I went back. I used to have the Sunday school lesson on my iPad. I went and bought a Sunday school book for the first time in probably the last 5 years. And I'm enjoying marking this book up, just marking it up. Because things have been so convenient for us now, you know. But sometimes, y'all, we've got to go back. We've got to go back. You know, I'm going to tell y'all this story, and I'm done. There was a man who raised show dogs. And this is what we have to do. And the man had the pedigree, the blue ribbon on his dog. And he said, "Y'all, my kennel ain't complete. I want to get me a mutt. And the servant said, "Man, you don't need no mutt. It's going to mess up your bloodline." He said, "No, I want to get me a mutt." So he went to the alley, and he found dirty, nasty, shivering old mutt. You know, some of y'all know what a mutt is. Some of y'all got mutts in your yard. You don't know what he is. I put this 7 foot down. You just call old dog, old black dog, old mutt. The man got the mutt. The man gave the mutt a bath. The man put a shirt on the mutt. But he wouldn't let the mutt eat from the dog, he let him eat from the master's table. And as time went on, the man fell in love with the mutt. And then one day the mutt up and ran away. The man was heartbroken. Said that mutt ran away. He said, I don't know what to do. And his servant said, I told you not to get that mutt. And one day, the doorbell rang. And he went to the door, and showed up, there was the old mutt standing at the door, looking bad, looking dirty, looking pitiful. Didn't have the shirt on that that the man put on. But the mutt had a yard full of other dogs. The mutt went back to the alley where he had been delivered from and got his buddy and said, I know a man. If you're dirty, he'll clean you up. I know a man that will feed you from the master's table. And y'all, sometimes we need a little mutt sense. Uh-oh. Did I say that? And relish the fact of what God has done for us. And we need to share it with somebody else. I quit. I lost everybody.
That was a good story.
I'm here.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. Well, you know, sometimes we just have to work a little harder.
Wow.
And maybe people are really thinking about what you're saying. I don't know, but you know, sometimes it just kind of happens that way. Where we're just a little quiet on a call, but we just pray that they are really thinking about and contemplating some of the information that was shared, because it was rich, it was good. It's definitely give us something to think about, and I would offer up that we just challenge yourself today to think, rather than asking God for anything, just to thank Him for who He is and what He's done for you up to today. You know, maybe your circumstance is not, you said something, unless I was half asleep. I thought you said, you asked a question, how many, or somebody made a statement along the lines of, how many of you thought you would be further along? Am I making this up? Thought you would be further along?
No,
you know,
I said that.
Now?
I said,
you did.
Yes.
And I thought about when you said that, I'll just be transparent. Carl and I, when we, probably about a year after we were married, I mean, you know, we've been making plans about what we're going to do, but we had this plan of having a rental property, you know, I had a home, but just upgrading, getting a larger home, having rental properties, and having X number of dollars in the bank by the time we were like the age we are right now, in our 50s. And life did not go that way at all. You hear me? It did not go that way at all. And but do you know, God is still faithful, even though it didn't go that way. And He promised in His Word. I read somewhere, it might have been Jeremiah, I think, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you. And somewhere else it said that your latter would be greater than your past. And so my plan, or our plan, didn't happen the way that we wanted to. And here we are in a rental property. And that's one of the things that I was praising the Lord about today. Just, I love this little house. I love it. It's got a couple of little things that I don't really particularly care for, but that's all right. They're cosmetic. They can be, you know, call a landlord. Hey, this needs to be repaired. But I'm so thankful. My priorities are right. We don't have the money in the bank that we had planned to have at this time. And had we had that rental property, we probably would have lost it like a whole lot of other people did. But, you know, God is still faithful, and I yet praise Him for who and what He is to me. And I believe that God is going to do something amazing and miraculous that will blow my socks off and will cause people to scratch their head and say, that didn't happen. She must be making that up. Oh, yes, honey. God is going to do some amazing. I believe Him for that because I believe His Word over my life. And the other thing is that it's not just about the thing. Even though they are a part of the package deal, because as I said yesterday, He wants to lavish us. He wants to lavish us. But you got to get in that position to be lavish. Okay, I'm going to shut up.
Wow, awesome, man. Anyone else before we close it out? Anyone else got anything? All right, if there is
one
not
else.
Enough, oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
This is Ruth. Good morning. Awesome declaration. I'll be 50 next month as well, and shoulda, coulda, woulda, you know, had the
I think we lost you, Ruth.
Did you mute yourself?
Maybe she'll call back. Anyone else before we close out? If not, I want to thank everyone who played a part on the call today. Again, pray for me. I'm not feeling well. I know my regular declaration is tomorrow morning, and we're going to conclude about prayer tomorrow. So I pray that you tune in tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Again, look on Facebook because Dion said that we're changing the number as of tomorrow morning. So please spread the word. Because as we said yesterday, if you call this line and don't get anybody, it's because we're on the other line. So
please do that. I want to thank my sister Judy for helping me today.
I kind of like this tag team discussion, love, life, and victory. I think we need to try that more often. If there's nothing else to hold our attention, again, Paulie, thank you for getting me late last night asking me to fill in for Marcus. I have no problem filling in when I need to fill in. May God bless you. May God keep you. It's my prayer, and I love every last one of you. Oh, let's not forget tonight, TNT, please be on the line, Christian Cross. There's going to be a power pack message tonight. So we're inviting everyone to TNT tonight, all right?
No, it's not but you can tag
team. I'm sorry, Friday Night Live. Friday Night Live.
Let's blend it.
Friday Night Live. Friday Night Live tonight. Okay, we're going to blend. Okay. Friday Night Live tonight. I'm sorry. We're going to party. It's Friday. And then listen, my favorite song on Friday, yes, I'm a preacher, yes, I'm a Christian, but my favorite song every Friday is Michael Jackson's Off the Wall, when he says, tonight, leave your 9-to-5 up on the shelf and just enjoy yourself. So that's what we need to do tonight on Friday Night Live, all right? I look to hear from all of you tonight. If you've never tuned in to Friday Night Live, we have a ball. We laugh, we cry. We do it all. We have a great message and all of that. So we're going to have a great time.
What about the OJs? Living for the weekend. Hey, that one.
Yes.
Hey.
That part right there.
Whatever your song is. Whatever your song is. Or how about, what is that? The Boy That Just Died. Friday Night Just Got Paid.
Pastor Lavelle. His name was Kemp, last name Kemp. Very few people just died, but yeah, that one.
But he just got
Friday
right,
night. Oh,
died.
I like that one. Just got paid.
Say it, Diddy. Say it one time. Come on.
Nah, this crowd ain't receiving me well, so I'm going to wait till later on. Maybe that'd be better than this.
All right, y'all. Take care tonight, Friday Night Live. Love y'all. Have a wonderful day.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye.
Love you all. Have a good day.
Bye, all.